Please have a seat. I read a little story this week. Three-year-old has a little brother, and the little brother started to walk, starting to get into all kinds of things, starting to mess with the three-year-old's toys. And so the three-year-old goes to Mommy and says, "Mommy, can we put him back?" And the Mommy sees it as a great teaching opportunity. So she says, "No, he's a gift from God. God gave him to us." And little girl says, "Yeah, I guess he didn't want him either." What a story, I think, that speaks to what it's like to be in family, right? On the one hand, it's a good thing. Brothers and sisters. On the other hand, in the reality of life, sometimes we go, how do I manage just the humanity of it all, the junk? Tomorrow is All Saints Day. We think about those who've gone before us, those brothers and sisters in Christ who've had such an impact in our lives. And in some ways, it reminds me of this little poem I heard a long time ago. It says, "To live above with saints we love, oh, that's going to be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, well, that's another story." In these days, we're talking about who are we as a church moving forward? How do we move forward in the midst of what these last 18 months have been? And maybe more than ever, we need to be reminded that we are a family and we're brothers and sisters. We've talked about how we're a kingdom. Jesus is our king. We're fellow citizens. We're ambassadors in relationship with our neighbors. And now we're talking about what does it mean to be the family of God with God the Father, our Father, but with one another, we're brothers and sisters. And maybe in the last 18, 19 months, we've struggled with that. On the one hand, the isolation, the restrictions, I think, have made us long to be together. And yet, on the other hand, has there ever been so many different opinions and polarization? And we live in this tension of we're family, we're brothers and sisters, but we're different. And how do we deal with this? And what is Christ's vision for us to be his brothers and sisters and thus brothers and sisters with one another? Because frankly, the last 18, 19 months, they've kind of frayed us at the edges, and we're not really on our A game. And isn't it easier to love one another when it's going so well? But maybe this whole message on being brothers and sisters is something we need more than ever. Because when the scripture calls us to this kind of family relationship, rarely is it when we're on our A game. It's almost always in the trenches. Reality. We're going to look at two passages today. Both speak to this issue of being brothers and sisters. Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, "Therefore," based on everything that has been said before, "therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family." Let us be brothers and sisters doing good to all. And we're going to talk next week about extending hospitality as a family of God to the world. But now it starts at home, especially to one another, to do good. And we're going to see the context is do good to one another when we need restoring and we need help. And then we'll look at Ephesians. The context here is conflict, anger. And it ends with this: "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children." There it is again. Children of the Father, brothers and sisters, and walk in the way of love. Do good in the midst of life's reality within the family. Love one another as God has loved us, as children, as brothers and sisters. This morning, let's flesh out what the practical implications of that are. What are the ways of living that help us do good within the family and love one another as brothers and sisters? What does it mean to be brothers and sisters in Christ? We'll see a few things. The first thing it means simply is this, that we're to humbly grow together. We need each other to be what God wants us to be. This idea, this journey, this walking with God is a plural thing. We're called to humbly grow together. Let me get at this one with something from Henry Cloud. He's a Christian psychologist, has written a lot of books, and one of them is called 9 Things You Simply Must Do, and he's laying out some principles for how to live, how to love. And one of his things you must do is play the movie. Okay, what on earth is he talking about? He says we must learn to play the movie. He says that in life, there are those decision points. We can decide to do this or this. And often, we don't play the movie. We just look at what's easiest to do in the moment, and it gets us into all kinds of trouble because we don't think, well, if I choose this way, what's that going to look like? If I project that into the weeks and months and years, what about this whole thing if I project it into the weeks and the months and the years? And because of that, I think a lot of times we wake up in a scene in the movie down the road that we didn't anticipate. Early on, we make kind of short-sighted, selfish choices in relationship, and down the road, our relationships end up broken. In the short term, we make choices to deceive and to hide, and in the long term, we get found out. In the short term, we make decisions to cope in unhealthy ways, and in the long term, we end up addicted. In the short term, we give our time to that which doesn't mean a lot, and in the long term, that which has meaning, we haven't invested in. Play the movie. Problem is, we're so blind often to the script. And in Galatians 6, I believe God is calling us to the kind of community that helps each other play the movie. To get where we're coming at here in Galatians 6, Galatians 5 has just said, this isn't about rules and legalism. But just because we're freed not to follow rules, Paul says there still are two ways to live. You can either live led by the Spirit of God, tuning into the Spirit of God, or you can kind of forget that and do your own thing. This is a way of freedom, where the movie is going to lead to growth, becoming more like Jesus, relationships deepening. This way is going to end in pretty dark places. Interesting, after laying out that vision of two ways to live, not legalistic, not rules, not outside in, but inside out, we come to Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the family, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Brothers and sisters, those of you caught in a sin, the word caught is quite a broad word. It means it's detected, you're found out. You've made some kind of poor decisions, and the movie scenes are getting more and more difficult, and it's becoming pretty obvious. And brothers and sisters are looking on and going, yikes. It can also mean to be involved in, that you're still in the process of making decisions. But you're starting to make the kind that are going to reap a whirlwind. Now, we good polite Canadians would say, that's your business, and I'm going to be a good Canadian and stay out of it, right? It's not what God says. You who walk in the Spirit, you who are in community and you're doing life and you're seeing people you love, brothers and sisters, either go down a wrong path or even come to a point where they're suffering the negative consequences of a wrong path, what should you do? Well, there's things we're not to do. We're not to avoid. No, we're not to talk about them behind their backs. We're not to feel self-justified. Look at their choices. I haven't made all great ones, but I'm making better ones than them. No, we're to restore. Restore them gently, recognizing that we often have made some bad choices ourselves. The word restore is interesting. Where it shows up is in places like fishermen. They've been out, their nets are ripped, and before they go out again, they got to sew them up, restore them so that they're going to do their job. Doctors used it. A bone is broken. You restore it so that it's strong again. You bring it back to where it was. We who the Spirit is making us aware of these kinds of issues, rather than avoid, are to humbly enter into the kind of relationships where we're able to talk about our life scripts. I don't know how that hits you. I think on one way we might go, ah, but on another way, doesn't it sound good that I'm not alone to figure out this mess of life and its complications and its struggles and its difficulties? The vision here is that we're not alone to figure out life. You know, as I read that, you know how this is going to work best? It's going to work best if you and I actually give some people permission. Are our small groups at a point where we can look to maybe not everybody in the group, but a couple and say, I'm giving you permission to be kind of an editor of my script. If you see me making decisions that are not godly, I'd rather know about it before I pay the price. And the other side is, and even when I've paid the price, can you love me enough to not leave me there? Stand in judgment over me, but walk with me to bring me back. That's the vision. It's not about us kind of being over each other to enforce the rules, but God wants to write a beautiful story in all of our lives. We're all tempted, instead of following what he's writing, to take the pen and write it our own way. Don't we want a community before God that can help us keep writing the right story? And wouldn't it be the loving thing to do if someone is writing the wrong way to at least ask a few questions? And maybe this is kind of a good way to do it, rather than you're doing things wrong, to come alongside and say, can we talk? Some of what's going on, let's just play that out. What do you think might happen? Now again, we don't have any control over the other person's response. And again, I think it works best in a community that has actually given one another permission to live this way. Isn't this what brothers and sisters do when it's going well? And you know what? Sometimes brothers and sisters point things out and it doesn't go well right away, but you work it through. Oh, there's so much grace here. God is saying, I want you to live by the Spirit. And part of living by the Spirit is actually trusting the work of the Spirit enough in your lives that you can talk to each other about the difficult decisions you're making. And keep coming back, knowing you're all going to be tempted. You're all going to be tempted. So the question out of this way of living, I think, is simply this. Are you willing to give others permission to speak into your life and be humble enough to listen? And are you willing to be brought into someone else's life to speak into theirs? Again, humbly, seeking God. But boy, how different it could be if someone said there's a cliff two steps away. When we have blind spots, humbly grow together. That's the first implication here of being brothers and sisters in Christ. The second one then is this: we're to carry each other's burdens. If we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we carry each other's burdens. Kind of a bad news story with a little bit of a funny twist. A while back, I think it was in L.A., young girl's driving, and something happened. She ends up over a guardrail on an on-ramp, and her car is kind of hanging pretty precariously, and it's the kind of situation where, like, firefighters get called in and paramedics, and she's in pain. And as the story goes, it took almost 2.5 hours for police and tow trucks and firefighters, all of that, 25 people in all, to secure the car and pull the woman to safety. But the LA County Fire spokesperson said, what was kind of funny in it, now knowing she was all better, what was kind of funny, she kept saying, I'll do it by myself. No, you won't. You're trapped in a car. It's hanging by a tire. You're not going to do it by yourself. How many of us in our culture and in the church are dying inside? And it's not so funny when we say, I'll do it by myself. I can handle this. Verse 2, Galatians 6. This is part of do good to all, especially the family of believers. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, love one another as I have loved you. Carry one another's burdens. The word burden is interesting because it speaks to that which is beyond the normal. The best way to get at that, later in verse 5, it says each of us should carry our own load. And the word load there was used of cargo for a ship. A ship has a certain load capacity, and it's designed to carry that load. Burden is when the ship is overloaded. All of us are going to face daily challenges that are part of life. We're designed to carry a certain amount of cargo. But there are times in all of our lives, when we're overloaded. It might be a drastic change in circumstances. Might be a relational breakdown. A time of loss. An accident that we have or others. Illness. A diagnosis. That surgery. It might even be in context when, through our own choices, the movie script has gotten very difficult. And we can't hide it anymore. So whether it's our fault or not, it's all a burden. And again, what are we as brothers and sisters to do? Carry each other's burdens. Come alongside and say, how can I help? How can I be here? How can I pray? What do you need? Sometimes just a listening ear to let people know they're not alone. How can I walk with you in this so that you're not alone? What keeps us from this? Well, that's verses 3 and 4. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Like, what's going on? It's speaking there to almost of a forgetfulness and a pride where things are happening around me, but I'm almost like, well, it's not going to happen to me. So in my own little world, and either through my own pride, busyness, whatever, I miss it. Well, but you say, Lyle, doesn't it say take pride in yourself? What that's about? Well, go to verse 14. I don't have it up there, but Paul later says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a forgetfulness that all that I have is from God. If I'm walking in a time where I'm not carrying a burden, that is out of the grace of God. If I am in a position I can help someone, it is by the grace of God. And so rather than compare and think, well, I'm here because of what I've done, I'm here because of the grace of God. I'm in a position to walk alongside you by the grace of God. And that's what I take pride in. Rather than comparing, it's that, God, you've got me in a position, even though I'm human and muddling through, that right now I can come alongside a brother and sister as they're muddling through. This reminded me, a while back, I heard someone speak on the Good Samaritan. And talk about three different perspectives if you look at the characters. The first was the thief. His perspective is, what's yours is mine and I will take it. And unfortunately, more and more in our world today, I think that is a perspective people live by. Then there's the two religious leaders who walk by, and their perspective is, what's mine is mine, and I will keep it. I got enough going on in my own little world, and I'm going to get involved in yours. It's mine is mine, and I will keep it. And then there's the Good Samaritan and his coming alongside to help the robber who's all beat up and on the side of the road. And the Good Samaritan's perspective is this: what's mine is God's, and I will share it. To carry one another's burdens is to have the perspective of the Good Samaritan. What's mine is God's. I boast in Him. When I look around and I see ship sinking, how can I come alongside and take some of the weight? Jeannie and I had a front row to this when we were in Chicago. A number of you know our niece passed away this month. And we went down and were able to be with Jeannie's sister and brother-in-law, who were her parents. And was it a time in which the boat was overloaded? Absolutely. But we had this front row to watch the body of Christ, the family of God, the brothers and sisters that Mark and Joy had come to know over, for some decades, start to come alongside them and carry the load. Most often it had to do with time. As they would just simply take time to the call to come by, for a number to get on a plane, in a vehicle, and drive quite a few miles to be at a service, to just be there. And how many said, we don't have words? And who has words when a 33-year-old passes? It's not like they were there to figure it out. They were just there to help carry the load. Bring food, arrange their schedule differently, just to be there. Carry one another's burdens. We're in this awkward time where it's so easy to be isolated, and people may not even know what our burdens are. But I believe that if we are willing to go to God and say, God, your Father, you have your children, I'm brothers and sisters of them, who do I need to be paying attention to? Who do you need to bring to mind? And then it may take a little bit of time, a little bit of adjusting of your schedule to give a phone call. Within the COVID rules, to drop by. And just simply say, how you doing? And listen. The biggest part of carrying burdens, I think, we lift with our ear. We just start by listening. But it means getting out of this forgetfulness of all that God has given us. And maybe it challenges us, if we're in the midst of feeling burdened, to actually make a phone call and ask for help. And some of you listening might be going, I've done that, and it just hasn't worked out. I just encourage you to hang in there, because all of us are human. And that's a problem with this. We're going to disappoint one another. It's what's going to lead to the next point here in the message. But for now, God, what's mine is yours, even my time. Who do I need to be paying attention to? How can I be your heart, your care, your hands, your feet? How can I carry that heavy load of someone else right now, knowing that my ship's going to get a little overloaded in the future sometime too? I'm not comparing. I'm not thinking I'm better. But I'm a brother and sister, and I just want to help. So that's Galatians. As brothers and sisters, we humbly grow together, helping each other play the movie, coming before God to edit the script before it gets worse. Carrying one another's burdens, that when the ship is overloaded in those around us, we come alongside to however we can, take that extra weight and carry it with them. But what happens when there's disappointment and discouragement and we're frustrated and, well, as brothers and sisters, we turn to Ephesians, and there we see that we're to work through all that dissension and hurt. That the disappointment doesn't lead to resentment and bitterness and more isolation, but that when we do disappoint each other, which we're going to, we work through it. Let me just start here. An old story, Billy Graham, this is way before he got famous, doing a series of meetings in some small town. He'd written a letter he had to mail, okay, a long time ago, when you used to do that. And I didn't know where the post office was. never been in this town. So he's kind of walking around, sees a younger guy. He says, can you tell me where the post office is? Kid says, yeah, two blocks, turn there, okay. And then he thinks, well, you know what? Why don't you come to, and tell your mom and dad, come to that church over there tonight. I've got some meetings there, and I'm going to tell people how to get to heaven. Little guy says, you don't even know where the post office is. Why should we come? I don't know where heaven is. I think there's a watching world. And we talk about a God who loves us and helps us love one another. And I wonder sometimes if they're going, how can you tell me to do that when you guys can't get your act together? We are living in a polarized world. And I believe one of the great opportunities for the brothers and sisters in Christ in this time is to show the world how to disagree and do it civilly. How to work through our junk. Because it seems the world hasn't got that figured out right now, and it's coming apart at the seams. And if we just come apart with them, we don't have much to offer. And why should they turn to us? So as brothers and sisters, how do we work through dissension? Well, let's unpack here Ephesians 4. It ends with, love one another as Christ has loved you. Okay, we talked about that. But what's the context? Let's look at verse 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. You know what I love about that? The Bible isn't saying don't get angry. It's so honest. It knows we're going to get angry. It knows we're going to disappoint each other. It knows we're human. God knows we're going to get angry with one another. We're going to get frustrated. In your anger, do not sin. We don't just start throwing fists and yelling. What do? Keep going. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. Don't let that anger, that dissension, turn into resentment that turns into bitterness. There's a title of a book, and sometimes the title itself is so good. I think John Bevere wrote it. It's called The Bait of Satan. And it's all about taking offense. Something happens, and the bait is take it personally. Be offended. Let the anger simmer. Want them to hurt the way you hurt. The bait of Satan. Do not give the devil a foothold. Things are going to happen. People are going to do things or not do things. They may have some motive behind it that isn't good, but highly likely they don't even know how it's being perceived. Don't let the sun go down, assuming bad motives. Don't just let it turn into resentment. So how do we work through it? Well, there's a little bit of a sandwich here. Before, we're to speak the truth in love. So verse 26 and 27 in the middle, let's see what the verse ahead of it says. Verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. Speak the truth. You're offended? Find out truthfully what's going on before you make judgment. Does that mean you can go in and say, I can't believe what you did. You're such a no. Sandwich. That top, let's look at the bottom. Okay, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Okay, there's the sandwich. In the middle, we're angry and we're frustrated. Speak truthfully, but do it in a wholesome, building up way. Do it in love. See that? In fact, verse 15 says, speak truth in love. Things are going to happen. And how do we play the movie? We just start assuming they have bad intention toward us. And we start making decisions to resent. Or we go, let's find out what's really going on here. How do we speak the truth in love? You certainly don't go accusing. You go owning your own feelings and emotions. You know what? I'm kind of feeling a little hurt here, because here's what I heard you say, or here's what I saw you do, or here's what I expected, and it didn't happen. You see how the word I there? It's not you, 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 but here's what I perceived. The other person then has an opportunity to go, whoa, I'm sorry. Or to own up, or you know what? They might say, yeah, I did it, and so what? But our part is to do our part. Try and get to the truth. Now, regardless of how they respond, sometimes we may not even have the opportunity to go say it, because sometimes what people are angry at, it's so old, once it comes to light, they may be gone. How do we let go of that offense? And I think even, what do we do before we go so that we're not going wanting revenge? Well, we speak the truth in love, but above that and through that and over that and all of it is that we forgive. We forgive one another. That's verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. In fact, let's go up a verse. Get rid of that bitterness, that rage, that anger, that brawling, that slander, every form of malice. I think even before we go talk, let's get rid of the anger. How do we do that? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Yes, horizontally, there may come that opportunity face to face to forgive, but before, our forgiveness of the other is vertical. We come before God and say, God, before I even go to this person, I need to give up the offense. I need to give up wanting them to hurt. Regardless of how they respond, God, I don't want to live having to have them respond in a certain way for me to be able to go on in freedom. I choose to forgive as you forgave me. What is forgiveness? Here's some things. We name the offense before God. God, I choose to forgive this person. Four, before God, name it. What they said, what they didn't do. As a result, I felt, you can't say they made me feel, because that's my stuff. But God, as a result of what they did, here's how I feel. And we let go before God of the hurt and the anger and the resentment and the frustration, and we name it before God. And now, God, I am choosing by an act of my will to forgive, to stop judging. I love this language, to take that person off my hook, where I'm imagining all kinds of ways they should hurt. And I'm putting them on yours, your hook, into your just and merciful hands. You're the one that really knows what's going on, and I would sure want it to be treated in mercy. So God, have your way. I don't feel like it. It's a choice. But what they did, I'm not saying what they did is okay. Forgiveness is not saying that what they did is okay. It's just simply saying I don't have to get even. But God, they got to rebuild my trust. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you're going to trust them tomorrow. It means there's still issues to work through, but you just don't need them to pay anymore. If we don't do it, you've heard the statement, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. If we would just walk in forgiveness, and then that forgiveness, I think, gives us the kind of mindset in which we can have this conversation of truth and love. Let God work. And we may not even agree. I think as a church, if we cannot show the world how to disagree in love, how are the world ever going to do it? But it just means I got to stop taking everything personally and even start releasing to God, forgiving. Let His healing come. The Bible says, as far as it depends on me, live at peace with others. I'm not responsible for how the other person responds, but I am responsible to forgive them. And as God gives me opportunity, truthfully, lovingly have conversation and let God work. What I hope you've seen in all three of these is that they're not about brothers and sisters when we have our A game going. This is all about the reality of life. When we're making the wrong decisions and the movie's playing out, we work to restore and grow humbly together. When the ship's taking on too much water and sinking, we recognize that maybe God right now has got us where we are to come along and help carry the weight. And where we're disappointed and hurt and upset, rather than take offense and go down a path of resentment and bitterness, we lean in, we start with God and forgive, and then where he gives us opportunity, we speak truthfully, but lovingly. And grow more and more into that sisterhood and brotherhood, that family that God intends for us. Let's pray. Father, it's so appropriate that the song we sang right before is I Need You. Because, boy, we're quick to take offense, to see things through our own grid, to not want to get involved. And God, I pray that we will live as those who are loved. We will live as those who are forgiven. We will open our ears before our mouths. We will recognize that we are brothers and sisters in a fallen world where we are going to hurt and we are going to be wounded and we are going to wound. But your Spirit is in the midst of it, ready to heal. God, how in this day and age do we need to learn to be brothers and sisters in Christ? To live out the love that you extend to us. So even as we sing this song, God, even if it's just taking time to read, to take in these powerful words, may we live as brothers and sisters brought into the family by the love and the sacrifice of Christ. Let's stand together.